things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to ASMR with Taylor and Jenny.
Welcome to Taylor and Jenny after dark.
Oh, it is morning. Excuse me.
It is 11 in the morning. Just kidding. Welcome to Jenny and Taylor
mid-morning.
We're adults now and we can't stay up past like 10 o'clock. Oh my God. We had to do a switcheroony for the timing.
I stayed up until 2:30 in the morning.
Oh my God, when you went to Chicago?
Yeah.
So late.
Oh my God, it was crazy. We ordered Mexican food on Uber Eats.
Nice.
It was so good.
Oh, that's so good.
We just had a picnic on the floor of the hotel room.
Those are the best.
It was amazing.
Those are the best. How was Greta?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Did you have an out of body experience?
Literally. Seriously,
I'm so happy for you.
Had a religious experience at this concert, and God bless Brittany for like tolerating me.
Oh God,
through it, because I was absolutely
out of your mind.
Oh my God, like in the aisles, just thrashing, just rocking out,
living your best life.
Yeah, and like everybody there except for the guy, like there was like frat guys next to us who were so sweet.
Oh, that's good.
They were so sweet. But they didn't really know the band. Like, they were just at a concert.
Oh, okay.
So the guy was like, well, I'm just, like, looking to you for cues if it's important. I was like, it's all important.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad that you got there and you did it and you got home safely.
Yes, we got home safely. It was honestly a truly, absolutely incredible.
Good.
I cried. I wept.
Sure. I'm sure.
It was outstanding. Such a good show.
Here and then in a couple of weeks, we're going to go see Spill Canvas, which will be a much different vibe.
Yeah. Like you say, a couple of weeks. Like, that's like a solid.
Well, from the current timeline.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks.
Like, 6.
Wow. Is it really? That feels so close.
Yeah, from the time this episode comes out.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I can tell you right now, I'm not staying up until 2:30 a.m. It was absolutely out of control. I have not fully recovered. I am truly exhausted.
Are you?
Yeah.
Take your braces off. Sorry.
Oh. It's okay. Wait, you don't want to listen to my jingle jangles?
Your jangles.
My janglies? All right, fine.
Sorry.
Jangle free.
Thank you.
Jangle free and ready to mangle.
Ready to mangle?
Mangle.
Mangle these stories up.
I'm jangling and mangling.
And that's Jenny.
And that's, oh God. That's Taylor. This is a little bit grim. It's a podcast.
Yeah, it's Ookie Spooky, and this week is Disasters Week.
It is Disasters Week.
I'm excited about mine. It's recent, but I had never heard about it. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm covering one that everybody has heard of.
Oh, really?
If you are, well, it garnered some like pretty global attention, but it's a U.S.-based disaster.
Ooh.
That was very recent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you...
Am I going first?
Yes.
Okay, do we have any announcements?
See us at DeadCon.
Yes, come see us at DeadCon. Happy birthday, Abby. This comes out on her
Happy birthday, Abby.
So I wanted to make sure I shout out her. Yeah, come see us at DeadCon. You only have a couple more days to get the candle. So if you're interested in that, definitely go grab that. That's only going to be out for another week.
Yeah, so check those out if you haven't already.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody who has already purchased a candle. The response was incredible.
Overwhelming. For us and BFF Candle Co.
Yeah.
Which they can totally handle it. But the messages back and forth between us and them was a wild time.
It was super fangirly over each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Girls support girls.
Yeah. Women, you know, who support women.
We love to see it.
Go march in the Women's March, because that'll be coming up.
When is that?
October 2nd.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go do that. We would love to see your pics if you're going to go.
Yeah.
Send them in.
I'm thinking about making, I don't want to say like making, but bringing like Theo
okay
with and like get him
going.
Going.
We gotta train them early.
Get your boys.
Yeah.
And raise your boys to love other people.
For sure.
And to not
be terrible. Oh, God. Huh?
Never mind. I'm gonna keep that thought on the inside because it was hateful.
Oh, okay. I see. All right.
We're just, you know.
Practicing self-control.
We're practicing a filter.
Ooh,
you
weird.
Know what? When I was a kid, when I was like 14 and unruly, I had a family member, a male family member, who just was not a big fan of me and all my opinions.
Antics.
And all my antics and opinions that didn't align with his own. And I was very combative, even like as a young kid. So
a youngster.
So he got me a little tiny filter, like a little metal filter, and he put it on a necklace, and he wanted me to wear it to remind myself when not to speak. And I have not shut up since he gave me that necklace.
I hate it.
I also hate it. In saying it out loud now, it feels a lot more gross than when he gave it to me. Super. Yeah, that was pretty fucked
up
of him.
Gross.
Sorry, I didn't know that that was...
Maybe bring that up in therapy.
Okay. Maybe I need to.
I feel like that was like a momentous occasion in your life that like maybe you should unpack.
Maybe. I just thought it was a weird gift. But now that...
It made a huge impact because you were like, fuck you.
Fuck you. And
all of your censorship, actually.
Actually, let's not tell 14-year-old girls that they have too many opinions. Let's not do that.
Let's not.
Why did he do that?
I mean, I'm glad it didn't really affect you in a way that, like, now you're, like, very quiet and, like, reserved and you don't tell people your opinions. It could have had a really lasting effect on you.
Yeah, that's true. Good thing I don't listen.
Good thing. Thank God.
Anyway, hi.
Hi. Okay. Am I going first? Is that what we decided? Okay. So I am going to tell you about the Winter Cherry Shopping Center fire.
What? I've never even heard of this.
It is a Russian disaster.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so my sources are a CNN article by Radina Gigova, Mary Ilyshina, and Eliza McIntosh, a Chicago Tribune article by Natalia Vasilieva, an article from Cosmopolitan.com by Emma Beatty, and an article on Radio Free Europe.
Okay.
A lot of these sources, I had to... put a lot of faith in the good old Google Translate.
Okay.
So
we leaned very heavily.
We did. We leaned into Google Translate quite a bit. So I apologize if anything like doesn't translate well. I did my dang best.
Do we have any listeners in Russia?
I don't think so.
Wild.
Yeah, that is weird. For Russia being so big.
We're probably getting censored.
Probably. They're probably like, we do not want your opinions.
wear your filter necklace and shut up.
Yes. Please sit down, girls. All right. The Winter Cherry Shopping and Entertainment Complex is located in Kemerovo, Russia. Winters are cold and long. Summers are warm-ish but short. The average January temperature ranges from 1 degree Fahrenheit to -4 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yikes. So, that's a chilly place.
Yeah. And the average in July is like 63.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, their Julys would be amazing.
Yeah.
But everything else I think would be really awful.
Sure.
Originally, the mall was a communist era confectionery factory, which stopped production in 2006. The man that purchased the building originally wanted to make it a gigantic workout facility like LA Fitness.
Oh, okay.
And they began the renovations for that and added two additional stories to the already two-story building. So they wanted to make the two-story building a four-story. They did this without proper permits. So one day, this guy just woke up and was like, you know what I really think it needs? Two more stories.
Oh, and we just didn't check with
just
anybody.
Just go for that.
Okay.
And they didn't do the... right stuff.
The audacity.
Right. Midway through the renovation, the owner decided he wanted to turn this shopping center into, or turn it into a shopping center instead of a workout facility. So again, he just woke up another day and was like, you know what? Actually, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do something else.
He should make up his mind.
Yeah. And the production and the construction for a workout facility and a shopping center are vastly different.
So different.
So they didn't do much about it. They just instead like put up drywall in the middle. We're like, here's a store.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Super interesting sketch. Approach to building.
sketchy.
I'm no civil engineer, but
I am sketched by this. So he didn't really loop anybody into this plan, even the architect. So the architect that would have been the one to be like, we need to like add more shit then, wasn't in the loop.
Ah.
So the building was not really made for a shopping center that would eventually materialize there. The Winter Cherry Shopping and Entertainment Center opened in 2013 as a four-story, 247,000 square foot space, or 23,000 square meters. The entertainment center had a bowling alley, a petting zoo, three movie theaters, and a children's play center.
That is quite the entertainment center, isn't
it? Yes. So there is a map. I think I found it on like CNN where they list like how the floors are laid out. And basically the top floor is where all the children's entertainment stuff was.
Okay.
So that's where the movie theaters were. And then there was kind of like entertainment and shopping on the third floor and then just shopping on the first and second.
Okay.
It was a labyrinth with very few windows.
Ooh.
And I think that that might have been because it was supposed to be a workout center.
Right.
But they just didn't have a lot of windows. It looks like kind of like a jail almost. It's, oh.
Like casino vibes?
I don't even know if I would go with casino vibes. Because there's a lot of like lights and stuff in casinos. It's just very square gray concrete building.
Oh. Industrial.
With tiny, tiny little windows.
Weird.
Yeah, very industrial.
Okay.
So for to have like a bowling alley and all this stuff in it just seems really weird. But, anyway, it is what it is. There was one main staircase, one elevator, and one escalator, despite it being four stories.
Wow.
Right.
That can't be up to code.
No. So much is not up to code.
That can't be right.
It was, mid-March in 2018, and many children were out of school on spring holiday. On March 25th, the complex was packed with families out enjoying time together. There was even a class of eight children who were on a school trip together. They were kids from a rural nearby area that didn't get to go to the city much, so this was like a super cool real treat for them.
Aww.
They went bowling. There was also an ice skating rink, so they went ice skating, and they all went to go see a movie.
Cute.
The movie theater was about 15 minutes into the movie Sherlock Gnome when a woman ran into the theater and yelled fire.
Sherlock Gnome?
Yeah.
Is that like a generic Sherlock Holmes?
It's animated Sherlock Holmes, but they're all the characters are gnomes. It's a children's movie.
Cute!
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So cute. So this woman comes in and just starts yelling fire, and immediately everyone jumps up and starts running. It's mass chaos. They did not hear any fire alarms.
Oh.
The lights did not go up, and they had to follow the walkway exits to find the exits. So really the only thing that they have to tell them that there's something that's wrong is just this woman.
Screaming fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not
a great alarm system.
No. Local media reported that during film screenings, the theater employees would lock the doors from the outside.
What?
To prevent people without a ticket from sneaking in.
What?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No! Fire codes! Literally!
Oh my god. So, Russia!
Yeah, can't get it together. Parents had to break down the doors in order to escape. Anna Zarechneva, who was in the mall cinema when the fire broke out, said moviegoers had little warning until the blaze was well underway. No fire alarm could be heard. The crowd broke through one narrow door. The second exit, for some reason, was closed, Anna wrote on Instagram. Having jumped out of the cinema, we saw a dense black pungent smoke, which completely filled the children's playground and the second cinema hall. They were completely invisible. There was already no air.
Oh my god.
Once the emergency personnel were called, over 600 firefighters and other emergency personnel arrived on the scene. The fire had started somewhere on the fourth floor of the complex and spread very quickly. By the time people realized that they were in danger, the fire had gotten so out of control that they had ran out of escape options. In addition, the fire exits had been blocked.
Mm.
Later, authorities would report that the fire alarms had actually been turned off.
What?
By a shopping mall security guard. We still don't know why the fire exits were blocked.
Was this on purpose?
I don't think so. I think they were just trying to get around coding.
Oh my god.
And like penalties and stuff. I don't.
There's a reason codes exist.
No kidding. To avoid shit like this.
Right.
Yeah. So lots of error.
Here. Oh man.
An 11-year-old boy named Sergey was trapped on the fourth floor. He found a window and decided to jump. When he leapt from the window, he hit a light hanging from the building on the way down and landed on an awning. Doctors say that Sergey was conscious and well aware enough to tell medics his name and that his parents were still trapped inside the mall before he was put into an artificial coma. Sergey had suffered blunt trauma to his heart, lungs, liver, and kidneys, broken his pelvis, tore his cheek, and had airway burns from inhaled smoke.
Oh my god.
When he woke, the doctors told him that his mother, father, and sister all did not survive the fire. It was bad.
Oh my god.
One man brought his three daughters to the center that day so that they could watch a movie while he did some shopping. After the fire began, his oldest daughter, age 11, called him to tell him that there was a fire and the door was locked and they couldn't get out. He ran up to the fourth floor, which was completely inundated with smoke. He turned around to try to get help and led first responders to the theater, but they got a call to go elsewhere and they just turned around.
What?
Yeah. And he was like, this door, I need you to open this door. And they were like, yeah, but we got a call, we got to go somewhere else. Like, somewhere else in the complex.
What? In the hell is going on here?
It is madness. Absolute madness. So all three of his daughters died.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. In an interview, he said angrily, my daughters burned because of their bloody rules. One of the more heart-wrenching things about this is that because it was so recent, many of the kids were calling their family on cell phones and telling them where they were, but nobody could get to them.
Oh,
I know. Yeah.
That, how helpless.
How helpless. There's nothing that they could do. They were completely trapped.
Oh, no.
Some people were posting on their social media accounts and writing their final goodbyes on social media.
This is horrific.
It's horrible. And we have never heard of this.
Holy macaroni.
I know. Witnesses say that there was no evacuation plan. No one had any idea about what to do in the case of a fire like this. Some staff stayed behind to attempt to get people out of the building, but it was very unorganized. Shopkeepers saved about 50 people through an alternate exit. Staff and guards of the center were criticized by survivors for not arranging an organized evacuation effort, while some were praised for their efforts.
Wow.
The fire burned incredibly hot, with the heat of the flames rising to 700 degrees Celsius. The heat is so high it caused the bouncy castles to burst into flame. It burned through the night, and it wasn't until Monday afternoon that it was considered fully extinguished. The fire destroyed over half of the complex. It burned so hot the firefighters weren't able to enter the building for at least 12 hours.
I'm absolutely speechless.
It was...
I'm just sitting here with my mouth hanging open.
I know. It's... Horrible. Russian companies routinely complain about excessive checks from various government agencies, which often abuse elaborate rules and regulations to pressure businesses. As a result, many companies prefer to pay bribes instead of complying with, quote, outdated and excessive regulations.
Uh-huh.
Including fire safety rules.
Okay. I am hesitant to call fire safety an outdated regulation.
Or excessive.
It's not excessive. It's necessary. So shit like this doesn't happen.
So people can live.
That's all.
Yeah.
You know what?
We're not asking a whole lot here.
Oh, God.
Because the building wasn't built to code originally, i.e. the two additional floors that were just stacked on top of the other two floors, the dangers of rescue and escape were exponentially higher. Putin ordered his emergencies minister, Vladimir Puchov, to fly to Kemerovo and take charge of the disaster. Firefighters in the early hours of Monday still struggled to reach the fourth floor of the mall as temperatures were still too high. Putin sent his heartfelt condolences to the families and friends of the victims and wished for a speedy recovery to the injured.
He didn't feel those condolences in his heart.
No, I'm not sure he has one. At least 64 people were killed in the fire.
Oh my god.
41 of them were children. Because it started on the fourth floor. Oh. All the kid stuff was. Yeah.
Do they know what started it?
They have a theory, and I'll get to that. Also, among the fatalities were the 200 animals from the petting zoo.
Ow.
I know. Due to the heat of the fire, they had to identify most of the bodies with DNA technology. The number of the dead is highly contested by the Russian public. They believe the count could be in the hundreds, and the government is hiding the true number of fatalities.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them.
I wouldn't either. The Investigative Committee of Russia, their version of the FBI, launched an investigation into the fire. They immediately criticized the staff. Most of the staff ran away and left children and their parents to their fate.
Yikes.
The committee head, Alexander Bestrykin, said within 2 days of the fire, they had detained 5 people in connection. Vladimir Chernov, the governor, said that the preliminary suspicion was that the child had lit a cigarette lighter, which ignited foam rubber in the children's trampoline room, interrupted in the fashion of gunpowder.
What? Why are you using explosive foam?
Let's not victim blame children.
No. Who gave that child a lighter?
Right.
Let's parent blame.
I don't believe so. No. I don't believe that that's a thing that happened. I
don't buy it.
I don't buy it. There is also speculation that the contracted builders and the owners of the mall cut safety corners in the electrical wiring, which sounds more plausible to me.
That sounds right.
Russia 24 TV, a national broadcaster, said that an electrical fault is the most likely cause, as it is in most previously.
You'll get it.
Someday we'll get there. Said an electrical fault was the most likely cause, as in most previous deadly fires in Russia.
Sure.
Thousands of Russian citizens showed up to protest the handling of the fire. They demanded the regional governor's resignation. Regional deputy governor Sergei Sivilev got down on his knees to beg for forgiveness, like literally in front of the crowd.
As he should.
Yeah. So he was applauded by the crowd.
Great.
Then on April 1st, 2018, the governor that they did not like did resign, stating the heavy burden of the fire.
Yeah.
National leaders downplayed the protests, saying that only a handful of people showed up. President Putin arrived in Kemerovo, but did not address the protesters. He attributed the accident to a criminal negligence and sloppiness, according to comments distributed by his press office.
Are we buying that?
I mean, I think that the fire was criminal negligence.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just really have a hard time. How many times has he been president?
Too many.
Like 1,000.
Is he not 1,000 years old? How old is this man? I feel like we heard about Putin when we were like 6.
Seriously. Hold on. I'm going to Google that. You keep telling me the story.
All right. Denis Shengelov, the part owner of the complex, promised to pay a compensation of 3 million rubles, about $52,000, to the family of each victim. This is in addition to the roughly $17,000 promised from the government. Still, no amount of money can bring back your loved ones or erase the knowledge of how they suffered. Igor Yorgins, president of the Russian Union of Insurance Companies, told the state television that individual shops were insured, but the mall does not appear to have an insurance policy. Jurgen speculated that the mall did not sign an insurance contract because its fire safety features were below standards.
Mm.
The prosecutor in the case asked the court to sentence 8 defendants to prison terms between 5 years and 14 and a half years. The prosecutor asked the court to give the longest sentence to Yulia Bogdanova, the former director of the company that owned the Winter Cherry Mall. The prosecutor also asked the court to sentence the former mall manager and mall's former technical director to 14 and 13 years in prison, respectively. He also asked the chief of the company that installed the fire alarm system in the mall and his assistant to get 6 years and 8 months and 5.5 years in prison, respectively. The prosecutor asked the court to sentence the individuals who led firefighting operations at the blaze 6 to 5 years in prison. All of the defendants were charged with violating fire safety rules and negligence that led to loss of human life. The former director, the former mall director, and former technical manager all pleaded partially guilty, while the others pleaded not guilty. in total, 16 people, including leaders of the regional emergency ministry and officials who had approved the mall's operations, had been charged with crimes that investigators say led to the tragedy. The request for sentencing took place in May 2021, so we don't know what these people will actually serve. So this is still ongoing.
Pending. Okay.
Yeah.
Update coming.
Okay. Yeah. So that is the Winter Cherry disaster.
That is awful.
Really horrible.
Absolutely terrible. I have answers.
Do you? Please tell me.
Vladimir Putin, his first and second term were from 1999 to 2008. And then Dmitry Medvedev was the president. They've only had four presidents, by the way. And two of them have been Putin.
What?
Starting in 1991.
Well, that's when, like, the USSR fell, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that right?
I don't know. Something fell. That's when they started having presidents instead of...
dictators?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he served from 1999 to 2008. Then Dmitry Medvedev was 2008 to 2012 for 4 years. But he was Vladimir Putin's right-hand man.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like he became the president. So... Putin wasn't the president anymore.
Sure.
But then behind
the scenes, I'm sure President Putin was still...
It was still president.
Yeah.
And now Putin retook office in 2012, and he has been the president since. So 9 years, 120 days in office.
Is he elected? He's got to be elected, right?
Yeah. So in 1991... it became, Russia, like, became known as the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic. I don't know.
Wait, so is that the USSR?
That's the RSFSR.
Oh, okay.
RSSR? I don't know. We don't know anything. If somebody knows Russia better than us, can you tell us how it works? We have questions about the whole country.
We're stupid.
Help us. We have Americans. We're dumb.
We went to public school.
Somewhere, someone listening to this,
in the
like
rural Midwest, we know nothing.
We don't
know
anything. We don't know anything. There is somebody from like the UK who
literally dying right now.
We're sorry.
We're sorry.
We're a product of our own failed government.
Yeah.
And boy,
please give us.
Does that tie in well to my disaster?
Does it?
So mine is also a government fuck up.
I can't wait.
I'm excited to tell you about it. Okay, so my sources.
Yeah.
Wikipedia, an article by James Brabazon called Can I tell you my sources at the end? Because it's going to spoil what I'm about to tell
you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, well, I'm about to spoil it anyway. The Deepwater Horizon.
I don't know what that is.
Yes, you do.
Do I?
You don't know the name, but you know what happened. Was a 9-year-old semi-submersible mobile floating dynamically positioned drilling rig that could operate in waters up to 10,000 feet deep.
Piper, are you going to speak to us?
So give us a meow.
Meow! Oh, thank you. I appreciate that so much. She woke me up this morning literally by headbutting me and meowing in my face at 5:45.
That's disrespectful of you, Piper.
Girl, I did not need that.
I just expect better behavior.
I was like, who raised you?
You!
I did.
Sorry. The Deepwater Horizon was built by South Korean company Hyundai Heavy Industries. And owned by Transocean, the rig operated under a Marshallese flag of convenience, which is a business practice where a ship, like a ship's owners, will register the ship in the ship register of a country other than that of the ship's owners. So, like...
do they do that to get around shit? Why?
Yeah, it's some conglomerate merger.
Stop, like, trying to skirt the rules. They're rules for a reason.
Oh, yes. I know. I'm so sorry. Listen, This is going to be the very tippy top of the iceberg of your frustrations with this.
Gross.
Big gross.
All right.
The rig was chartered to BP. BP. The dangle.
Oh, no. Yeah. I do know what's going to
happen. Yeah, you do know what's going to happen.
This is not a good idea.
From March 2008 to September 2013, it was drilling a deep exploratory well 18,000 feet below sea level in approximately 5,100 feet of water. The well is situated in the Macondo Prospect in Mississippi Canyon, Block 252 of the Gulf of Mexico.
There's blocks of the Mexico?
So if you have you been on a cruise?
Not yet.
Okay. If you ever go on a cruise and you leave out of New Orleans's port, as you go out to sea, you drive past, soar over tons of these. You just see them out in the Gulf of Mexico, giant drilling rigs.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little icky, especially in light of what happened.
Huh. Yeah, I go on a cruise in March, but we are leaving out of Miami, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So I probably won't see that.
No, you won't. It's but there's a bunch of oil in the Gulf of Mexico underneath.
Fascinating.
Fascinating. Which makes me very nervous about the hurricanes that come through there. Like, how do they not all do this?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Again, not a civil engineer. The Macondo well is roughly 41 miles off of Louisiana's coast, and BP was the operator and principal developer of the Macondo Prospect with a 65% ownership stake. 25% was owned by Anadarko Petroleum and 10% by Moex Offshore. I know that was like boring to listen to, but the ownership and parties involved is important because literally nobody wanted to take responsibility for this unholy disaster.
Gross.
And no one wanted to be the one to fix it. So
humans.
I hate humans too. And this is so
gross.
So sad and disgusting.
Okay.
The deadly blowout of the oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico was triggered by a bubble of methane gas that escaped from the well and shot up the drill column, expanding quickly as it burst through several seals and barriers before exploding, according to interviews with rig workers conducted during BP's internal investigation. Portions of the interviews, two were written, one was taped, were described in detail to an Associated Press reporter, Robert B., a University of California, Berkeley engineering professor who serves on the National Academy of Engineering panel on oil pipeline safety.
Oh, wow.
And he worked for BP as a risk assessment consultant during the 1990s.
Okay.
So he got these from, like, friends in the industry, and he was like seeking expert opinion about the reality of what happened.
Sure.
7 BP executives were on board the Deepwater Horizon rig celebrating the project's safety record.
No way.
Swear.
That is the universe being like,
fuck you.
Flick.
Fuck you in particular.
Off the crust of the earth you go.
They were having a pizza party to celebrate how safe the project was when it exploded.
Irony of this.
You gotta laugh.
Is like, I can feel it.
Yeah. Same.
Oh.
Yeah.
Woof. All right.
Meanwhile, far below, the rig was being converted from an exploration well to a production well. So it was originally just out there, like, poking holes to see, like, what it could find. And then they found oil.
Okay.
And so they were ready to turn it into a oil rig.
Producer
one. A producer, yep. Workers set and then tested a cement seal at the bottom of the well. Then they reduced the pressure in the drill column and attempted to set a second seal below the seafloor. A chemical reaction caused by the setting cement created heat and a gas bubble, which destroyed the seal. Deep beneath the seafloor, methane is in a slushy crystalline form, which I feel like slushy is a weird way for science to describe something. But I don't know what other, like, slushy?
I think that in my college geology class,
I took earth science as a sophomore, so I'm an expert.
Yes, absolutely. They have weird ways to describe things that are just like, it feels so elementary.
Seriously.
But that's, yeah.
There's no other way to describe. Slushy. Yeah. Like, I know exactly what texture they're talking about. It's just hard for my brain.
Like a flaky rock. That's a real thing.
Flaky rocks, yeah.
Like, it's, how do you describe it?
Flaky.
You know, science, they really just try to make things simple.
They do. And us dum-dums out here being like, I don't know.
How does Russia work? Like,
it's embarrassing.
Especially since that, I mean, new Russia was in 1991. We should
is
definitely
that new Russia
know how this works.
Well, to be fair,
I can tell you a lot more about Tsar Nicholas than I can Putin. Probably.
You want to talk about Catherine the Great? I'll talk about her.
Yeah.
She was great.
You all six of Henry's wives.
No.
And the order in which they died.
What was your favorite? Mine's Anne Boleyn.
Oh, yeah. Anne Boleyn's great.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. I did like Jane Seymour, though. I feel like he really loved her, and then she died in childbirth or after childbirth.
Well. That's to be expected.
Yeah.
When we give women no healthcare.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay. As the bubble rose up the dural column, from the high-pressure environment of the deep to the less pressurized shallows, it intensified and grew, breaking through various safety barriers. A small bubble becomes a really big bubble, so the expanding bubble becomes like a cannon shooting the gas into your face.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Up on the rig, the first thing workers noticed was the seawater in the drill columns suddenly shooting back at them, rocketing 240 feet in the air. And then gas surfaced. And then oil. What we had learned when I worked as a drill rig laborer was swoosh, boom, run, said B. The swoosh is the gas, the boom is the explosion, and run is what you better be doing.
Yeah, get out with your life.
Get on out of there. The gas flooded into an adjoining room with exposed ignition sources, and that's when the first explosion happened.
So it's inside the rig.
It's inside the rig.
Okay.
There was a bubble that burst the seals, and so all the gas that was down there shot up in the methane gas is highly flammable.
Yeah.
And so the gas got into the rig and blew it up.
Okay.
According to one interview transcript, a gas cloud covered the rig, causing giant engines on the drill floor to run too fast and then explode. The engines blew off the rig and set everything else on fire. Another explosion blew up more equipment overboard. The BP executives were injured, but they survived.
That's shocking.
Shocking. 9 rig crew on the floor and 2 engineers did die in the explosion. The furniture and walls trapped some and broke some of their bones, but they managed to get in the lifeboats with assistance from others. The rig continued to burn, and the following morning, the Coast Guard reported that the Deepwater Horizon had collapsed into the Gulf of Mexico and was spilling gallons and gallons and gallons of crude oil into the Gulf. At one point, the federal government claimed that 42,000 gallons were spilling a day.
Wow.
And then it upped the number to 210,000 gallons. Scientists provided a new estimate for the amount of oil gushing from the ruptured well in the Gulf of Mexico that indicated it could be leaking up to 2.5 million gallons of crude oil a day.
That is so much.
It's the government panel of scientists said that the ruptured well was leaking between 1.4 to 2.5 million gallons
a day.
The figures move the government's worst case estimates more in line with what an independent team had previously thought was the maximum size of the spill. And BP was responsible for stopping it. They originally tried to cap it off with a giant cement cork. It failed, not surprisingly. It was the equivalent of trying to drop a 4-story building 5,000 feet below sea level and trying to set it on a pinhead. Eventually, the leak was stopped. On July 15, 2010, BP announced that it had successfully plugged the oil leak using a tightly fitted cap. The cap weighed 75 tons, was over 30 feet high, and is now bolted to the failed blowout preventer. It consists of a flange transition spool and a 3-ram stack and is a temporary solution. Quote. A temporary solution. I couldn't find if anybody had ever gone back and made like a more permanent solution or if that is still what's holding back the crude oil like here.
That's now. Insane. Do we have a picture of it?
Yes. In total, the BP oil spill dumped more than 200 million gallons of crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico because it took them 87 days to stop it.
That is entirely too long. You don't get 3 months
to figure it out.
Stop this.
No.
Man-made disaster.
It is the biggest oil spill in U.S. history. Obviously, the environmental devastation was inconceivable. Sorry, we just watched The Princess Bride last night.
The best.
The spill area hosts 8,300 species, including more than 1,200 fish, 604 polychaetes, 218 birds, 1,400 mollusks, 1,500 crustaceans, 4 sea turtles, and 29 marine mammal species. Between May and June 2010, the spill waters contain 40 times more polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons than before the spills. They're called PAHs. They are often linked to oil spills and include carcinogens and chemicals that pose various health risks to human and marine life. The PAHs were most concentrated near the Louisiana coast, but levels also jumped 2 to 3 times in areas off of Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida. In studying the effects of the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill on bluefin tuna spawning in the Gulf of Mexico, research teams discovered that the PAHs block signaling pathways that allow potassium and calcium ions to flow in and out of cardiac cell membranes and sustain normal heart rates. So it caused all the bluefin tuna who were in the area to go into cardiac arrest.
Oh.
Originally, the concern was that the carcinogenic properties that would cause mutating cancers into the wildlife, and it was the first time the toxicity was seen to cause immediate death.
Yes.
In July 2010, it was reported that the spill was already having a devastating effect on the marine life in the Gulf. Damage to the ocean floor especially endangered the Louisiana pancake batfish, which is such a cute name, whose range isn't entirely contained within the spill-affected area. In March 2012, a definitive link was found between the death of the Gulf coral community and the spill. In the first birthing season for dolphins after the spill, dead baby dolphins washed up along the Mississippi and Alabama shorelines at about 10 times the normal number. By 2013, over 650 dolphins had been found stranded in the oil spill area, a fourfold increase over historic average.
Wow.
The National Wildlife Federation reported that sea turtles, mostly the endangered Kemp's Ridley sea turtles, have been stranding at a high rate. Before the spill, there was an average of 100 per year, and since the spill, the number has jumped to roughly 500.
That's so many.
The National Wildlife Federation senior scientist Doug Inkley notes that marine death rates are unprecedented and incurring high in the flood chain, strongly suggesting that there is something deeply amiss with the Gulf's entire ecosystem.
That's so sad.
In December 2013, the journal Environmental Science and Technology published a study finding that 32 dolphins briefly captured from a 24-kilometer stretch near southeastern Louisiana, half of them were seriously ill or dying.
Half.
BP said that the report was inconclusive as to any causation associated with the spill.
Suspect.
In 2012, tar balls continued to wash up along the Gulf Coast, and in 2013, tar balls could still be found in the Mississippi and Louisiana coasts, along with oil sheens and marshes and signs of severe erosion on coastal islands brought about by the death of trees and marsh grass from exposure to the oil.
This is horrifying.
I know. By June of 2010, 143 spill exposure cases had been reported to the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospital. 108 of those involved workers in the cleanup effect, while 35 were reported just by residents who lived in the Gulf, their exposure. Chemicals from the oil and dispersant are believed to be the cause. It's believed that the addition of dispersants made the oil more toxic. Survey of the health effects of the spill on cleanup workers reported eye, nose, and throat irritation, respiratory problems, blood in their urine, vomit and rectal bleeding, seizures, nausea, and violent vomiting episodes that lasted for hours, skin irritation, burning and lesions, short-term memory loss, confusion, liver and kidney damage, central nervous system effects, and nervous system damage, hypertension, and miscarriage.
And who was this?
People.
Okay.
People who were exposed. This is what their symptoms were. Dr. James Diaz, writing for the American Journal of Disaster Medicine, said these ailments appearing on the Gulf reflected those reported after previous oil spills like the Exxon Valdez. Diaz warned that chronic adverse health effects, including cancers, liver and kidney disease, mental health disorders, birth defects, and developmental disorders, should be anticipated among sensitive populations than those most heavily involved. He also believes neurological disorders should be expected in many years to come in the area. Cleanup workers treated the oil with over 1.4 million gallons of various chemical dispersants, which after studies were found to be just as toxic as the environment and the oil itself. They also tried to burn off some of the oil, Free Willy style. The waves dispersed the rest, and people tried to shovel the sludge out of the wetlands
That's
as they
disgusting.
Could.
Disgusting. Oh, I'm so horrified.
The photos are horrific.
I've just scrolled through so many photos.
They're terrible.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sad for all of those poor baby animals.
However many waterfowl that they could find that had like a higher chance of survival were scrubbed with Dawn dish soap.
Get the Dawn dish soap shout out.
Good old Dawn doing what they can.
Yeah.
The majority of the cleanup was done by environmental groups, the Red Cross, National Guard, civilians, locals, volunteer groups, and BP was really not anywhere to be seen.
They just peaced out.
They said, bye, we stopped our leak. Like, what more do you want? BP and his partners in the oil well, Transocean and Halliburton, went on trial 25th of February in 2013. In the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Louisiana, New Orleans, to determine payouts and fines under the Clean Water Act and the Natural Resources Damage Assessment. Plaintiffs included U.S. Justice Department, Gulf states, and private individuals. Tens of billions of dollars in liability and fines were at stake.
Jeez!
A finding of gross negligence could result in a fourfold increase in the fines BP would have to pay for violating the Federal Clean Water Act and leave the company liable for punitive damages for private claims. The trial's first phase was to determine the liability of BP, Transocean, Halliburton, and other companies, and if they acted with gross negligence and willful misconduct. The second phase, scheduled September 2013, focused on the flow rate of the oil, and the third phase, scheduled in 2014, was to consider damages. According to the plaintiff's lawyers, a major cause of an explosion was the mishandling of a safety rig test, while inadequate training of the staff, poor maintenance of the equipment, and substandard cement were also mentioned as things leading to the disaster. But they were on the rig. Eating pizza in celebration of how safe they were.
I can just see like so many middle-aged white men in suits like.
I picture all Monopoly men.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Monocles and top hats.
Yeah. They just passed Boardwalk and cashing in their money dollars.
Oh my God. I fucking can't with oil tycoons. According to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. government and Gulf Coast states have prepared to offer BP $16 billion settlement. However, it was not clear if this deal had been officially proposed to BP or if BP had accepted it. On September 4th, 2014, U.S. District Judge Carl Barber ruled BP was guilty of gross negligence and willful misconduct. He described their actions as reckless. He said Transocean and Halliburton's actions were also negligent. And he distributed 67% of the blame for the spill to BP, 30% to Transocean, and 3% to Halliburton. Fines would be distributed with a degree of negligence, and the parties measure it against the number of barrels of oil spilled. Under the Clean Water Act, fines can be based on a cost per barrel of up to $4,300 at the discretion of the judge. The number of barrels was in dispute at the conclusion of the trial, with BP arguing only 2.5 million barrels were spilled over the 87 days passed, while the court contended that 4.2 million barrels were spilled. BP issued a statement strongly disagreeing with the finding and saying that they would appeal the court's decision. But it was ruled that BP had acted with conscious disregard of known risks and rejected BP's assertion that other parties were equally responsible for the oil spill. His last ruling stated that BP employees took risks that led to the largest environmental disaster in U.S. history. The company was reckless and determined that several crucial BP decisions were primarily driven by a desire to save time and money rather than ensuring that the well was secure. Of course, BP strongly disagreed and filed an immediate appeal.
BP, I need you to stop fucking around and I need you to get it together.
Seriously.
Can you please take responsibility for your actions?
No. No. There's nothing.
I can wholeheartedly say that I would rather run out of gas than buy gas from a BP at this point.
Same. Same.
I will be stranded.
On the side of the road.
On the side of the heckin' road.
I could be in the middle of four BPs.
And not get gas.
And I will call my insurance company to come run me some
100%.
Gas. 100%. Yes. On July 2nd, 2015, BP, the U.S. Justice Department, and five Gulf states announced that the company agreed to pay a record settlement of $18.7 billion.
I hope they don't have any dollars left.
No. To date, the cost for the cleanup, environmental and economic damages, and penalties has reached $54 billion.
I'm nauseous.
In the resolution, BP agreed to plead guilty to 11 felony counts relating to the deaths of the 11 workers and paid a $4 billion fine for that. Transocean pled guilty and had to pay $1.4 billion.
Do you know how much money the families of the dead got?
No, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
None of the charges against individuals resulted in any prison time. No charges were levied against upper-level executives. Anthony Baldalamenti was sentenced to 1 year probation, and Donald Vedrine paid a $50,000 fine and received 10 months probation. Kurt Mix received 6 months probation, and David Rainey and Robert Kaluza were acquitted. Those are the execs. And that is a story of how rich men are destroying our planet for profit. I'm so sorry. It's so gross.
Ew.
Why?
Ew. Oh, God.
People really just suck so hard. And there's like amazing people.
Uh-huh.
But the majority of them are not that.
And they're not rich.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, you could be the most amazing person on earth, and I guarantee you don't have any money.
There is something that happens to people when they have
money.
And I'm not, like, I'm not even limiting this to, like, big, eat the rich 1% money. I mean, like, even, you know, a few million.
Right.
Something happens to your soul and you stop caring.
Absolutely. There was a TikTok I watched that was like, if you have like $5 million, you're still in the bottom, or you're still in like the 99% or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he did a graph that showed like how much money like Jeff Bezos has, how much money Oprah has, all of that. And then like, if Jeff Bezos is at the very top of the graph, the person with $5 million is still like a centimeter from the bottom of the graph. And then it's like the rest of us are on the bottom line.
Like, honestly, I don't. Okay, so what? You work your ass off and you invest smart and you whatever, and you make $5 million and you have $5 million.
Yeah.
I think that is amazing. You don't amass hundreds of millions of dollars.
Billions.
Without exploiting. Seriously, you have to exploit people to be able to be that rich. And there is no reason legally that you should be able to do that. Or, you know what? That's fine if you do have that, but pay some fucking taxes.
Seriously.
Let's see how many taxes BP paid last year. Let's just do a quick Google.
They probably said, here's some sunflower seeds and a Diet Coke.
They probably just gave every member of Congress a $50 gas card. We're like, just look the other way on this one, bro.
Yeah, they're like, here's your icy, bro.
In 2020, they made $11.4 billion just in the third quarter of 2020. Here's directly from their website. Tax transparency. We want to help facilitate more informed conversations with our stakeholders about our contribution to economic development, the part we play in society, and the rigor of our tax practices. Okay. Our tax report 2019.
Oh, wow. They probably knew, like, some Yahoo women were going to be sitting on a couch somewhere being real salty about their business practices. And they're like, we should probably just put this online.
Oh, my God. I have the entire PDF of their 2020 taxes.
Okay, I'm not mad about
it. We have to take action and put sustainability at the heart of BP. Really? Is that true? Is that true? Why don't you pull your oil drilling rigs out and instead go reinvest your money in renewable energy? Are you really? Are you really about that?
Uh-huh.
Like, be about it then. Don't put a picture on a windmill on a PDF of your fucking tax form. Like, that's going to placate.
A windmill.
There's a picture of a windmill.
Windmills are big, man.
Dude, I love windmills so much. They make my heart. So big. Every time we drive through Ohio and we drive past the windmills, I have like a little happy tear because I just think they're so beautiful.
Yeah. I think in the next 3 years, Ryan and I are planning on doing solar energy and trying to completely
get off the grid.
Like solar rather than.
Have we considered going back to exclusively lighting things by candles? Have we ruled? I think that was a good vibe.
Okay, listen. So I grew up incredibly poor.
Yeah.
Real.
Actual poverty.
Very poor.
Yeah.
And electricity was hit or miss.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
For the most part.
Yeah.
When I was at my mom's, it was just. Sometimes we didn't have it. And so my mom and I, we lit everything by candle. We had lanterns. We had, the candles that you could like carry around with you. We knew that we just did not have electricity most of the time.
Sure.
So it was, I honestly wouldn't trade that part of my childhood just because it was so like cool to be.
Well, you thought it was like kitschy and fun.
Yeah. I know that my mom was very stressed about it, but it was also like my mom and I played Monopoly by candlelight most nights. And like, we just did things that were together and fun. Like we played a lot of board games. We read a lot of books and just hung out, and we didn't like really watch TV or anything until I was a teenager.
I love that. And I'm so glad that you have turned that into like a fond memory, but you have been so severely underserviced by the people in your life who were supposed to care for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you too.
Okay. This is we have some therapy to go to.
Yeah. The first time Ryan ever spent the night at my house, I did not have heat, and it was the middle of winter. And that
which house is this?
Burn.
Okay.
This poor man. He was like, I'm freezing to death, and I was like, here's a heating pad, because we had electricity that night, we just didn't have
no
gas.
Heat. Okay.
And
we made a decision about the bills to pay.
What do we got to do?
Yeah. How old were you at this point? 17?
Yeah. And he was like, this heating pad is like 8 inches by 10 inches. This is a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that this is going to keep me warm. And I was like, we can cuddle.
You want to cuddle on the heating pad? You lay on the heating pad and I'll lay on top of you. And we'll just have like a warm schmush sandwich.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Cozy.
Poor guy. I'm pretty sure immediately he was like, you need to move in with me because I don't love this.
Taylor turned 18 and promptly moved out.
Oh, absolutely. Immediately.
Yeah. And soon as you could.
Turns out I've had electricity ever since.
Wouldn't you know? Wouldn't you know? When you're responsible for making your own decisions and choices, we choose electricity.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe just for fun, we go back to candles. It really is a lovely way.
Yeah.
It's like glowy and flickery and, you know.
Yeah, I love a good candle.
I feel like living by candlelight would just make me so much more like pensive and moody.
Uh-huh. I don't think you need help.
No.
I think we're good.
My soul is lit by candlelight. I just want to creep around in the shadows, like in a luxurious robe, drinking ambrosia.
Okay.
All right. Well, I found my retirement plan. Thank you for listening to the podcast.
Yeah. So share us with a friend so we can live our dreams of living by candlelight.
You know what? We hope you live your dream too. And if your dream is to live by electricity, that's totally fine.
Yeah. Do you have a bright and shiny today?
You know what? I do.
What's that?
We're going to circle back to the Greta Van Fleet concert.
Great. Can't
wait. The frat boys who were next to us.
Yeah.
There was one guy who was like, I don't know what's important, so I'm going off you. Him. Brittany and I were quite a few. We had like a couple. We were splitting tall boy White Claws.
Okay.
All night. And
a few of those in.
A handful of those in. And he leans over and he's like, hey, I'm going to go get something to drink. Do you want anything? And I was like, a water. And he was like, okay. And I was like, no, like, I'm just kidding. Like, we're chill. Thank you. Anyway, he came back with a can of water and they make you open, like, concession stand. They make you open your drink. And he was like, no, I'm taking this to a girl. Don't open it. So he brought us back a sealed can of water. And he's like, I didn't want you to think I was going to date rape you. I know.
I hate that had to be a situation, but I love that he knew enough to be like, I cannot bring this girl an open
thing of water,
thing of anything for her to put in her body.
No, because
frat boys,
right?
I
was so shocked by the considerate thought of a stranger man.
Sometimes they shock us.
They really do.
Sometimes.
He was really using his noggin. He was a nice guy.
That's sweet.
I know. I tried to pay him for it. He was like, absolutely not.
What a sweetheart.
He was like, you stay hydrated. I was like, thank you.
Aw.
So that's my bright and shiny. Yeah.
That's kind.
Sweet human.
Trying to think about what mine is. I had a really good conversation with somebody at work the other day, and they, so my team, we basically like split up my whole company and we all have people who go to us for help. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody who's not in my region, but, her like lead was off. And so I wasn't expecting a call from this girl. But she was, I think she just needed somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
And we just kind of got to be that person for her for an hour while she just needed to get some stuff off her chest. So I was excited to talk to her and just
try to be a
helping hand.
A little helping hand, having kindness in her heart.
So that was my bright and shiny. And I appreciated that she trusted me to talk to me.
We all, hopefully, strive to be the person that, like, people feel like they can come to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that is such a... It's like a high compliment about your character.
Yeah. So that was nice. I appreciated that.
Sweet. I love that. Yeah. Well, follow us on the social meets.
Yeah. You definitely want to be following us on the social meets. We're not going to tell you about it yet, but you should definitely be following us.
Especially Instagram, maybe.
Yeah.
If you do that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Walk on over there.
Go ahead and give that a follow.
It's
because
linked in the show notes.
So just go on. Check it out. Check it out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had another thing to add to your story and I forgot.
Oh, what?
Just now. Did you know that you can donate your mascara wands to wildlife for them to help get oil off of animals?
Really?
Yeah. It's called Wands for Wildlife. And
oh my God.
You just like wash your mascara wands with like a little bit of Dawn dish soap, mm-hmm. and then you Ziploc it, put it in a Ziploc bag, and you can mail it to them. And then they use those for getting oil off of like feathers and stuff.
That is amazing.
Yeah. It's a non-for-profit. I think they're out of North Carolina. I'll link them in the show notes.
Oh my God. Okay. So go donate. If you're a makeup wearer, go donate your old mascara wands.
Yeah.
I love that.
Isn't that cute?
That's a bright and shiny in and of itself.
Right, right. I literally was like thinking of that when you were telling me about like the waterfowl and stuff like that. I was like, don't forget. I'm glad that I remembered last minute.
Yes, good job. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Okay. So leave us a review if you want to. Send us your oogie, spooky, creepy. And we love you.
And be kind to yourself.
And to others.
Goodbye.